Jamie and Locker with you on the Green Zone on this Monday afternoon. The Canadian curling trials continue. The feature games starting right now. Matt Dunstone against Brad Guju, the two undefeated teams on the men's side. On the women's side, the top two teams. I don't think it's going to be a surprise. It's Kerry Anderson's rank there, 4-0. 3-1 is Rachel Holman on the women's side, of course. It goes all the way through until the playoffs beginning on the 27th. And a reminder, once it gets to the final, it's a best of three format for the final two on the women's and men's side.
This is brand new.
Yes, it is.
I don't know where I stand on this.
This is competitor driven because, and Curling Canada said, how do we get the best team to the Olympics? And what the feedback was, once it gets to the final two, you got the best two teams. They've gone through the round robin. They've gone through the semifinal. But who's the best? Should it be up to one game? Like you have one bad game and that's it. So they've decided to do a best of three that you have to win two of three. Because Rachel Holman's been humming, right? She goes to the final, loses the first one. It's like, oh, okay, now it's this rink that's going instead of Rachel Holman. But in this case, okay, you have to beat Rachel twice.
So do you think?
Or Kerry Anderson. I like this.
You like
it? Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
All right. Okay.
Well, I think I like it. We'll see how it plays out for the rest of the week. But let's talk some football with our big man, Belton Johnson. Belton, where does this week rank for Belton Johnson, American Thanksgiving on Thursday?
Where does it rank?
Like there's Christmas. There's New Year's, there's your birthday, there's American Thanksgiving. Like, where are we putting this week for Belton Johnson?
You're a huge leap year guy.
I don't know. I think it probably would rank number one, Jamie. Just, and reason being, you know, like you said, American Thanksgiving, right? All the, you know, all the goodies you get cooked up and, you know, I guess best of all, other than being with family and friends and everything, is what, three football games the whole day, and it's up there big time.
That's an excellent segue into a conversation we were having about what we could do to bribe you to hang out with us on the show on Thursday and cook for us. We're friends. I know we're not family. But what would it take? Jamie said he would clean your car every week for a year.
No. Oh, man. What would it take? It wouldn't take much to get together with you fellas. Just my thing is when I cook, is usually lots and lots of work. So if I had some help cooking, just maybe.
All right. All right. We'll let you get away with just staying at home and cooking.
Okay. At home butler service for a couple of months.
Oh, he's still working it. I'll dress up in something sexy too.
Yeah.
Oh, fishnet.
That's not helping. You're trying not.
That's ruined it.
We'll dig into the matchups for American Thanksgiving, but let's circle back to this Sunday in the National Football League. Shedeur Sanders wins his first start over the Raiders. How impressed are you, should we be, in Shedeur Sanders' first start as the quarterback of the Browns?
The only thing that impressed me, really, Jamie Locke, was, you know, that little, it wasn't even a rollout. I think he was trying to get away from pressure a little bit there, and he slung it deep to wide receiver, who was it, Isaiah Bond there. You know, seeing that moment, I was like, man, maybe, you know, is he the guy, right? And outside of that, I don't think he did too much because the Browns, hey, let's face it, his defense did a lot of work. I think they had, what, 9 sacks that game, if I remember.
It was 10. It was 10.
Was it 10?
Yeah, it was a round number of 10.
Wow. And you know, I thought he had a pretty decent run game there and everything with Jukin. So I'm still on the bubble with him, you know. I know everybody wants to see Shedeur Sanders, you know, exceed, you know, expectations. And
do they?
Got great. I think
not. According to him, he thinks everybody wants him to fail.
No, I saw 12 jerseys in the stands there, Jamie. And, I just think whenever he does something good, you even saw Myles Garrett, I don't know if you saw that clip of him on the sideline when Sanders kind of halfway rolled out there and threw it deep to Bond. Even Myles Garrett was like, wow, I got to see more of it. I got to see more sample. I can't judge it off one game, Jamie.
Not that we need to berate the point, but we have a opinion. I think a lot of people have an opinion, and Jamie and I are on the same page with this, that he might have a little bit more ego than is healthy for a team environment. When you were playing, there were guys like that. I'm sure of it. And does the team go out of its way to try to pull him down to, to reality? Like, what's that like? Is it unspoken?
I like me a confident, cocky quarterback. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
If I got me a cocky, confident quarterback, I don't know. To me, it just breeds more confidence in everything around the team. You know, is there a fine point? It might be, right? But as far as him speaking and saying what he stated, how he plays and everything, that he's the guy that they've been missing. I think I heard something to that effect yesterday. As long as he doesn't get in trouble and everything, and if he's, builds around that, which I think that team, they need something like that, to be honest with you. Because without that, to me, the Browns are nothing, man. Like, they got a good defense. But again, if they could get that confidence from the quarterback play, you'd have a hard time convincing me otherwise, man.
What is it about that franchise? Guys like that end up there.
What a game. The two worst franchises in football yesterday. And the Raiders reign supreme of the trash heap.
There
in
was
the National
no
football
other
league.
Place that Shadur was going.
No. Other than Cleveland.
It's a magnet.
Let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs. A big comeback win over the Colts. Do you believe this team can finish strong and make the playoffs, or are there still too many blemishes with what you're seeing from KC?
I think there's still lots of blemishes there, but they have one guy there, Jamie, that they're still going to be in it, and that's Patrick Mahomes, right? And yesterday he willed his team to win. He had a couple nice runs there and everything. I think he had about 30 yards on the ground, and some of the passes, the passes were crisp there. Long as they got Mahomes, they're going to be relevant, I feel.
All right,
if that defense, plays half of what it played yesterday and, in some spots there, they're going to be just fine, man.
So Thursday, I'm just curious, looking ahead here, when did they start doing the weird games on Friday? It's been a couple of years now, isn't
it? The Black Friday game was like 2 or 3 years ago they started that one.
Yeah. So you got Packers, Lions, Chiefs, Cowboys, Bengals, Ravens. Out of those three matchups, which one are you looking forward to the most?
The one that I'm looking forward to the most, it's got to be the Chiefs and the Cowboys, don't it?
Yeah.
It has to be. Because the Cowboys, what did they just do yesterday? They came back from 21 down against the Eagles.
They beat the Eagles.
Right? Yeah.
Well, the Packers and Lions are chasing the Bears. The Bears are in first in the NFC North.
Somebody get rid of the Bears for me. They're driving me crazy right now. Winning by 3 points. Everything, the last 4 or 5 games have been pretty close here, I believe, right?
And yeah.
I don't know. In the Bengals Ravens, if Burrow had been playing, and I remember that game last year. That was a big game, a great game to watch.
He's back on Thursday.
Yeah, Burrow's playing. He's gonna start, but the Bengals, they're done.
They are, man, and it's just the Ravens. They don't even look good to me.
That's what I said earlier. I'm like, I'm not sure about the Ravens, but
yeah.
Well, we'll be well into the night by the time that kickoff comes up at 7:20. There's more. That's the one you work off the turkey nap during that 7:20 game on Thursday on American Thanksgiving. But final note, Belton, before we let you go, I'm going to flip things over to the Canadian Football League. What did you think of Dave Naylor, our CFL insider's news that the Toronto Argonauts said, hey, Corey Mace, do you want to come over and, you know, interview for head coach and add some roles and responsibilities in the front office? And then Corey Mace apparently said, no, thanks. What do you think of that story?
Well, I hope that's the story that I'm going to get for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss next little bit. But, no, I don't come poking over here. And is that not tampering?
They're allowed to ask permission, and Corey Mace said no. So
I think Coach Mace knows where he's got it made, and I think is, you know, again, it's here with the Riders. He's built a nice culture. He gets along with, you know, his GM, the players. He's got a lot of input on the players and everything as well, right? And he's moved his family here. I can't see him wanting to relocate, you know, young kids. The Argos got to look elsewhere, Jamie. I don't know where they're going to look, but it's got to be elsewhere.
I have a theory on Corey Mace. I think he wants to win three in a row.
Can we start at two?
One, yeah, let's go two.
What's this? Three.
I think he wants to go. I think he wants to win in Regina. I think he's staying here until he gets.
I think Corey wants to win 12, to be honest. He doesn't want to stop. Black Friday game for Ole Miss, too, this week. How are your nerves, Belton, as the weeks are starting to wrap up for your Ole Miss Rebels?
I'm shook, Jamie. I'm shook to the core right now. It's Lane Kiffin mess, $90 million. I'm hearing about LSU's trying to offer them, and, you know, we're at the pinnacle right now. So I don't even know if we're going to beat Mississippi State right now.
You'll beat Mississippi State.
I don't know, man. When you start tinkering with things and just bad timing all around.
Is that the Egg Bowl? Is that one?
That's the Egg Bowl, yes.
Yeah. Ole Miss versus Mississippi State. Well, enjoy that one on Friday. Enjoy American Thanksgiving. Happy American Thanksgiving, Belton. Enjoy Thursday and Friday full of football.
Hey, happy American Thanksgiving, fellas. Have a good one.
That is Belton Johnson, our NFL, CFL analyst here on
the Green Zone. What about snow shoveling? You live really close. You could just go over and...
I just take the snowblower. I'm not going to shovel.
Text him.
You kidding me?
Text him quick.
I'll add it to the negotiation. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone as we continue on this Monday afternoon on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Yes, the call was made by Kevin Stefanski. Shedeur Sanders will stay as the starter in Cleveland.
Shedeur will start this week. Obviously, you know, number one job of quarterback is to win. So excited to get that first win under his belt. And then next thing is improvement. And that's what young players do. Certainly young quarterbacks do. You get one game better, and that's just from working at it. So that'll be our focus.
That is Kevin Stefanski today. Didn't name the starter last night, but did say it's going to be Shedeur Sanders.
And you put him in.
He won. Cleveland needs a quarterback who can win a game.
Would you have put Pickard in net on Saturday night?
Does it matter?
That's a really good point.
I've watched both goalies play this year, and I'm not sure I'm really that impressed by either guy. Although all the talk is, Locker, that Stan's working on it. It's priority number one to shore up that goaltending for the Edmonton Oilers.
All right. then maybe my anger was a little bit disproportionate on Saturday night.
Time now for the Green Zone. You should have seen me last night watching the Canucks lose to the Flames. Goodness gracious. I know how to pick teams, don't I? The Raiders and the Canucks.
It's a tough look.
Goodness gracious. Back-to-back. It was their back-to-back nights for the Flames, too. And they rolled the Canucks 5-2. You can see
it on Quinn Hughes' face. He's like, when can I go to New Jersey?
When can I get the you-know-what out of here? Meanwhile, in the NHL tonight, it's only one Canadian team. It's the Ottawa Senators against the LA Kings. Monday night football, it's the 49ers against the Carolina Panthers. And Matt Dunstone forced Gugu to 1 in the first, and it's the battle of the unbeatens at the Olympic trials. 1-0 Gugu in the second end in Halifax. Mike McEwen's on the ice right now. He and Ryland Kleider, the other Saskatchewan rank, they're almost in must-win territory tonight, as McEwen is on the ice against Cooey and Kleider is against Epping. More coming up here on the Green Zone on this Monday afternoon on 980 CJME and 650 CKLM. Well, I hope you have a little motivation on this Monday. Locker, do you have motivation on this Monday?
No.
Yeah, neither did I today, really.
Nope.
We're still recovering from
sooner, well.
I lumped you into that circle, yeah, by the way. We are still recovering from Grey Cup. Just we. Locker had about 20 more hours of sleep than I did during Grey Cup week.
Yeah. Britton still looks like he fought in the parking lot all morning before he came into work.
Yeah, he sounded a little rough still. Yeah. But anyways.
Should have him on the show so we can cough all over us again.
meanwhile, we're keeping...
Like, there's something going around on Grey Cup week. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Alcoholism.
Well, it's not that far. Just, well, binge drinking more than anything. Brad Gugu, Matty Dunstone. Dunstone has a shot for two. Meanwhile, it is Kevin Cooey just scored 3 against Mike McEwen. It's 3-2 in the third inning.
Get a couple of points because this might be his last chance the way Gugu's playing right
now. Yeah, Gugu is these major events. He just turns it on. But it's the battle of the unbeatens. But right now we're going to flip over to the National Hockey League. One of the most surprising teams in the NHL. Are they the biggest surprise? The Anaheim Ducks? The Kraken are up there in the standings, the Red Wings, but they're one of the biggest surprises of the NHL are the Anaheim Ducks. Zach Kavanaugh, Anaheim Ducks reporter for the Sporting Tribune, on how surprised or not he is in the rise of the Ducks to the top of the Pacific.
I was sitting in the press box after the game on Saturday, and I turned to my Sporting Tribune editor, who was there covering the Vegas side of things, and I just said, I still can't believe this is happening. we all expected the team to take some sort of improvement, you know, with Joel Quenneville coming in and all the young guys obviously just improving. You expect some sort of movement forward, but to say any of us expected this kind of leap, I don't think that it was in our wildest dreams that the Ducks would be on top of the division, beating Vegas twice, and really just in a comfortable position here as we enter the almighty dates of American Thanksgiving. But it's incredible to see what this team has done and how they've done it. And the fact that they keep doing it, you're sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it just doesn't seem to be coming.
So, Zach, I've watched a couple of games, and I'm not quite sure what Joel and the coaching staff is doing, because it looks like they've got a defensive structure going. But at the same time, it also looks like every once in a while, like the 80s Oilers, where they're run and gun. And they seem to have some freedom to play the way they want to play. But at the same time, there does seem to be some attempt at putting together a defensive identity for the team. Have you put your finger on it at all?
Yeah, so that was kind of a message from day one in training camp of with Greg Cronin's coach, they were trying to run a man-on-man defensive system that just simply did not fit the roster. He wanted them to play like the Carolina Hurricanes, and you have to have a very specific, you know, lineup for that, as we all know. So Joel comes in and wants to do a zone read system, forcing pressure along the walls, getting those two-on-one battles to end the play quickly, and then get out on transition in the rush. And that is something that he has also preached in terms of getting into the play quickly, ending the plays quickly, getting out on the run, and letting this offensive talent be free-flowing. And make mistakes is something that he's also said. He's allowed the team to go out, and if you make a mistake or you jump off, if you, you know, just get out of line a little bit, there's backup in Lucas Dostal. But he's also going to say, okay, you made the mistake, don't make it again, but know like what your limits are. Whereas under Greg Cronin, mistakes were simply not allowed. They were trying to establish this foundation that made them kind of scared to make mistakes, scared to push up in the play. And so they're starting with that defensive base now, kind of protecting the house and forcing pressure, and then getting out on the run.
Okay. So is there an outscoring their problems going on here with the Ducks? They do have 80 goals. They have allowed 69. It's not a big plus-minus differential on goal scoring for a top team in the table. Or is this going to be life for the Anaheim Ducks, that they might still have to outscore their problems because it still is a young roster to try to hammer home a defensive structure?
Absolutely. I think, and they are getting better. Like, if you look at the numbers from the first week to now, they are better. But I think they're also kind of comfortable letting up those chances because, like I mentioned, Lucas Dostal is playing, you know, on top of his game again this season. So that allows them to make those mistakes. But they are, I think, the number one problem is not necessarily the structure. I think the structure is okay. They end up having trouble clearing the zone cleanly a lot. And then they get hemmed in, and then you just break down after a while. But I think that's their number one problem is the clean exits and then allowing those extra chances. But they are outscoring the problems, as you said. In that, I think we all know that the toughest thing to do in this league is put the puck in the net, and no team knows that more than maybe the Anaheim Ducks. They found that offensive structure, or offensive flow, I should say, and the special teams is helping them out in ways that they hadn't in previous seasons as well. One of the worst power plays of the last 5 years combined, and now they're at least middle of the league, which is all you could have asked for out of this group. And that does allow them to paper over these mistakes. But I do feel like those defensive structure things are getting better as time goes along, as the players get more comfortable, as Jackson Lacombe's had a slow start, and he kind of rounds into form, and Jacob Trouba's flourishing, though. So it's kind of a push and pull when it comes to the defensive side of things.
The interesting thing about a team in the States versus a team in Canada is, and maybe this isn't even a thing anymore, but it would be if you were in Calgary or Winnipeg or Toronto or Vancouver. Well, if you were in Vancouver, it would never go away. But the headline stuff. So I'm curious about where the fan base is on some of the more controversial things that have happened with the Ducks over the last year or so. So Gibson, he gets traded. Zegras gone, and then bringing in Joel Quenneville. Is that all just quiet because of the success the Ducks have had this year, or is it something that is still fodder even just on the internet trolls?
I think it's the success certainly helps paper over that.
Yeah,
but I also think that the team did a very good job of sort of addressing all of these things as they were happening. With the trades in the offseason, Gibson, the writing had been on the wall for a while, and I think we'd all accepted that this was Lucas Dostal's team, even if Gibson was going to be here this season. The mantle had shifted to Dostal as being the number one. Zegras is the one that will still get the fans riled up a little bit, because you look at that and you see how well he's playing, and you say, you wonder how well he could have played for Joel Quenneville, or you wonder if you are still going to trade him, how much more value could you have had with him if you had just waited a little longer, waited for the free agent market to play out, whatever. And with Joel, I think at the opening press conference, to have him and Verbeek both come out and answer every question that we lobbed towards them and be prepared and do their due diligence, have the owner, Henry Sanwelli, come out and address all these things. I don't think he's talked to the media in at least 5 years, since before I started covering the team at least. And to, they handled all that head-on and open as much as they could. And from what I understand, they are living up to their promises that they mentioned, especially on Joel's end of things when it comes to working in the community. They're just not publicizing it as much. And the winning does a lot to cover up any sort of animosity that you would find in the fan base. And it's not – that stuff doesn't really break through anywhere anymore, which – you know, has its ups and downs, but I think the winning cures all things. Yeah.
Of course, this is such a great young core, guys, with, you know, Zegras traded, of course, bringing in, pulling from Philly. But you have Leo Carlson leading the way at 20. Cutter Gauthier's amazing. Mason McTavish, it seems like I can't believe he's 22. It feels like he's been in the NHL for a decade.
Yeah, why have we been talking about him for 7 years?
Beckett Senecky, I know there's a lot of love for the defenseman, Matthew Schaefer, but should Beckett Senecky, and how high should he be in the running for Calder this year on his play early going with Anaheim?
Yeah, Beckett Senecky is a 19-year-old wonder. And when he showed up for rookie camp, he still looked very much like the 19-year-old that wasn't fully into his growing body quite yet. And we said, okay, he's still getting pushed off the puck, and he may have all the hockey IQ, but he just can he do this every day? And every single day after that was better than the one before it. And so now he's playing on one of the top lines. He's on Leo Carlson's line with Cutter Gauthier the last game and a half, and that's succeeding. When it comes to where he is in the Calder, it is a funny thing where he is going up against not only Schaefer, but Ivan Demidov, right? And all offseason, and especially during the preseason, the highlights of Demidov would come up, and everyone says, did the Ducks make a mistake? Who is Beckett Senecky? Can he do it? And he's right there with them. I mean, what is he? He's leading in goal scoring, tied in points. I think it's just very impressive. His hockey smarts is what stands out to me so much, shift in, shift out. The physical stuff kind of comes and goes, and he's 19 years old. But the way that he can get in lanes, make himself open, and how he has improved his defensive game is so impressive to me as a 19-year-old kid. And I don't know if you saw the play he made on the overtime winner against Utah earlier in the week, Olin Zellweger's goal. He gets the puck dead in the slot, 3-on-3, him and the goalie. Anybody else in the world would take this shot, especially a 19-year-old kid. And he had the presence of mind to take a half second, look off, and get to a guy that had an even wider open net. And it is truly impressive every single night. There's something that wows me about his game every night.
Now that is Zach Kavanaugh, the Anaheim Ducks reporter for the Sporting Tribune, as the Ducks are at the top of the – if you would have told me that the top two teams in the Pacific Division would be Anaheim and Seattle,
no,
not a chance.
But the Ducks, quack, quack, quack. The Ducks are a bigger surprise to me than
the Kraken?
Than Seattle, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. Both of them above the Golden Knights. The Oilers, of course, are struggling, but not as bad as the Canucks and the Flames. 1 point separates the basement of the Pacific Division.
The good news about Edmonton, and again, I'm trying to hang my hat on anything positive with that team, is that they've had a rough start. Their schedule gets a bit easier, I guess. They've played 24 games. They've had a
big one tomorrow.
Pretty rough. This is the start of a homestand, too, against Dallas. Without Mikko Rantanen, thank you to the Flames.
Yeah, the Panthers rematch.
Someone had to eat the boards, but...
You had the Panthers rematch. You won that one. Now you got a Stars rematch in the Western Conference Final.
That should be a good game. Should be a good game. They always play really well.
Coming up next, Champs and Chumps here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
If you are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump. I'm chumping the Las Vegas Raiders. They're a team.
We can chump a whole team?
Oh, yeah. I'm chumping the entire organization, from owner Mark Davis through the general manager to the head coach to his son who runs the offensive line, who gave up 10 bloody sacks against the Browns with Shedeur Sanders, who completed 11 of 20. Awful. Absolutely awful. That's how I capped off my weekend, is a bunch of text from my buddies going, well, that's got to be the most embarrassing loss in Raiders history. Chomp the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay, well, if we can do that, I'm champing the Oilers for not ruining my weekend and actually getting a win. I know it's not the Florida Panthers team that they lost to in the Stanley Cup Finals last year and the year before, but it's a close proximity, and I'll take it.
You would have been triggered if they would have lost to the Panthers.
I was so hope. I like when that game started, they scored really quick, and I was like, okay, well, that's not necessarily a good sign, because the Oilers can score 15 goals and still lose. So I was like, this better end well. It did.
I'm chumping my team. Locker's champing his. The Raiders.
So how long before Tom Brady ends up in the quarterback position?
Let him coach. Let him play quarterback. Heck, he probably can play better left tackle than their own left tackle. Awful. Monday Night Football. It's the 49ers against the Panthers to wrap up Week 12 in the NFL. The Canadian Olympic curling trials continue. Gouzou and Dunstone tied at 2 after 3 ends in that one. Gouzou with hammer in 4. Those are the two unbeaten teams. Ryland Kleiter is down 3-2 in his game, and McEwen is tied at 3 with Kevin Cooey. On the women's side, Carrie Anderson's 4-0. Rachel Holman, 3-1. That's it for us here on this Monday edition of the Green Zone. Tomorrow we're going to talk to Ben Pope in Chicago, and a lot more coming up here on the Green Zone. Oh, and Patrick Johnston, he'll talk to me about my Vancouver Canucks and his new book about Gino Ojic. Have a great rest of your Monday. Hopefully you're not waking up to needing to snow blow your driveway. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.